Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. My name is Peggy Ford, and I'm Coordinator of Research and Education for the City of Greeley Museums. Today is Monday, September 21st, 1987, and I am at the City of Greeley Museums at 919 7th Street. I will be talking with Ernie Adamson of California. Mr. Adamson is the adopted son of Kate Slaughterback, otherwise known as Rattlesnake Kate, and he will be giving me some information about his mother and growing up in this area. Mr. Adamson, tell me when you were born.
1921.
And you were chatting with me a little bit earlier. You said that your mother died and your father could no longer keep you or your brother and raise you. You were very, very young. And so at the age of about 1 year,
yes,
you went and what, lived with?
With Kate.
Kate. Uh-huh. And at that time she was married to?
To Jack Slaughterback.
To Jack Slaughterback. And you were about a year old at the time.
Yes, I must have been.
And you told me that your brother Fred,
yes,
also was taken in by Kate,
uh-huh,
and Jack, but it didn't work out well with them having to raise two children.
Yes, that's what they said.
And then Fred went to live with your...
Our Uncle Tony.
In Denver, right?
Well, they lived in the mountains. Let's see, what's that little town? Kremlin?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's Kremlin,
Colorado. He was long years ago, I guess he was the town marshal.
Mm.
Of Kremlin. Mm. And they lived in the mountains, them two. Mm. And then I have two sisters and another brother that stayed with my pop in Denver.
I see. And they were older,
yes,
then. I see.
Uh-huh.
You told me a little bit earlier that Kate never officially adopted you, although from all of the stories that I have heard, she very much considered you to be her son.
Yes, I was, everybody knew me as Kate's son, so.
What would be one of your earliest memories as a child of growing up in the Hudson area?
Well, I don't know. I've heard that snake story so many times, I feel like I remember, but I don't suppose I do. I was only 2 years old when she killed those snakes, so I don't. But I can remember, you know, people talking about it. And of course, they had all those pictures, all the people came out. It was a pretty exciting thing when it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then I remember Jack pretty well, and Kate and him used to fight quite a bit.
Hmm.
So I don't really know what.
So in terms of the way your mother raised you, did she have kind of a heavy hand, would you say? Or
well, I thought
fairly
so.
Strict? Yeah, yeah. As a young boy, you thought so.
Yeah, really.
You obviously had to help a lot around the
yeah,
farm and do a lot of chores. And
yeah, because Jack and her divorced, I don't know for sure, but I probably was 6 or so, and we lived out in this country, out in the Hudson area, you know, and then Jack gave Mom that 80 that she calls her homestead, and did all these years, and so then the house that was on there burnt down, and so we moved up on the old Gorn's place. It was north and east. She just rented that, and I can remember that, and we milked cows up there and put up wild hay and things like that. And then she bought a place down on Box Elder, and we lived there for quite a few years when I went to school at Kingsburg. And of course, remember all that. I used to have to walk about 3/4 of a mile to get to the bus and then ride the bus from there to Kingsburg.
Let's see. You said that Jack and your mother fought a lot. Your mother, talking a little bit, she seemed to be a fairly strong-willed individual.
It seemed to me as though they fought quite a bit. I don't know. Jack was a gambler, a real good farmer too, but he gambled an awful lot. He would come home with a pocket full of money, and the next night he wouldn't have enough money to buy a donut. You know, that's a gambler's life.
Right.
So they would get into a big battle over that. And finally, they just give it up. And she took that 80 acres for her share, and of course, I don't know what else went on, but that was. I know that's where she got her homestead. I think Jack owned 400 acres or something like that in there. And he gave her an 80 of it.
I see. She seemed, just from what I have read and have heard, that she liked to do everything by herself. She didn't really want to take a lot of help from people or charity. If she was going to farm, then she was going to farm. Was that pretty much true?
Very true.
Very true.
Yeah, she could cook real good, but she very seldom did. She just all the time in the field or with the animals or something.
Some of the things I have read too, she was a nurse for a while.
She was
trained as a nurse. Can you tell me something about that? Or
well, I don't know a whole lot. She done that pretty when I was real young, but she was a graduate nurse. Because she had the cap and a pins and stuff that showed that she was a graduate nurse.
It said that she nursed during the war, and I'm not sure, was this World War I or World War II?
It
she
had
talks
to be
about Fitzsimmons and
yes,
and so
World
on.
War One.
World War One. It said that she, in a letter that she wrote to this Colonel Randolph, it said that she ended up doing a lot of nursing and helping neighbors in the Hudson area. If a baby was to be born, oftentimes she would be called. Do you remember that?
Not much of it. I can remember her going to some of the Dowdies. There was a lot of Dowdies out in that area. And I can remember going maybe twice and probably delivering a baby or something like that. But that's about all I can.
It said that she got into it kind of by chance, that it wasn't her lifelong dream to be a nurse, but there she was. She had the nurse's training and so on.
Yeah.
She really, I'm assuming, loved the land, loved to be outside.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true. And animals. She didn't really raise that much stock, but she had, I can remember even in later years, after I married and went to California, come back out, and she would have ducks and geese and chickens. She'd go out in the yard and cluck to them, and they'd all come running just like she was the old mother hen. And then she had a lot of goats, and she raised a calf or two, and she always had horses.
I take it that she really liked to ride an awful lot.
Yeah,
and she was a good horsewoman.
Yeah, she was.
What can you tell me? Obviously, she had a lot of friends. What about her education? She wrote a lot of letters to this Colonel Randolph, otherwise known as Buckskin Bill. Did she have a formal education that you know of, or?
I don't really know how much, but she must have had a real pretty well good education.
Did she read a lot or read to you?
Not a whole lot, really. But she did write some poetry, too.
Oh, she did.
I don't know whatever happened to it. But in letters, I can remember not too long after. Well, I don't know how long, but after she killed all those snakes, we used to get crackers in big cracker boxes. And she had two of those cracker boxes filled with letters that people had written her for after she killed those snakes. She was pretty famous.
Pretty
there.
Famous person. Yeah. I can see why.
And I think she answered about every one of them letters.
Right. The letters that she wrote to Randolph, I guess she had a very interesting style of writing. She didn't use paragraphs and had interesting punctuation. Was that pretty much true in all of the letters she wrote to you as well?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she liked to get the mail.
Yeah, she did like to get the mail.
In some of the early letters to Randolph, she mentions during the 1930s some really hard winters and how she would have to walk 3.5 miles to the mailbox. Is that true? Was it a long ways to get the mail?
Well, when we moved down on the Box Elder, it was at least 3.5 miles.
When you, during that time during the 30s when you lived there? Mm-hmm.
I think she sort of maybe put on a little there because we always, that I can remember anyway, we rode horseback. We didn't walk. But it was, I can remember one Christmas that we went because we was expecting presents from people in California and whatnot. And we almost didn't get back. It was a terrible blizzard came up, and we just let the horses loose and hoped that they would find their way, and they did. Mm. It was pretty bad.
Oh, geez, that sounds scary. Did Kate correspond then with members of her family? Was she close to her family that you know of, her parents or brothers and sisters?
Not too much, really. Her brother, Roy McHale, and her were the closest, I think.
Hmm.
He lived over by Longmont, and well, you know, which wasn't too far away. And, and they come and visited. He'd come visit her, and we had old Model T, and I can remember going over to see Roy. And so they were about the closest. She wasn't real close to any of her relatives, I don't think.
Just pretty much a loner, very independent.
She was very, very much a loner.
I think what is interesting, too, is the fact that she was married 5 times.
Yes.
And
none of her weddings, none of her marriages lasted too long, didn't seem like. I don't really know what the problem was, but her and Jack, they were married quite a while, Jack Slaughterbody.
And you were telling me that he just up and left one day and...
Yes, I don't know what happened to him. Just seemed like nobody knew. He went off. Mom went to California or something and left him there. I was pretty small, really. Left him there to sort of watch after me. And I wasn't all that small. I didn't think I was anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't need all that help. So Jack and I sort of got into an argument, and I had an old Model T, so I drove him, I think it was to Gilchrist, and I never ever heard from him again.
And no one else did either?
No one that I knew of, no.
And your mother never said anything about him?
No, she never, just seemed to think that was great that he left, so.
And she continued on with her life?
Oh, yeah, she.
She had supposedly gone to Omaha for a time in her life and had taken training as a taxidermist at a school there. Did she talk much about that?
Not really. No.
But she had done that.
She did do that, yes, and she'd done quite a bit of taxidermy. She had pheasants and ducks and squirrels and snakes and quite a bit of stuff that she did.
So you recall that as a youth, just watching her do that?
Yes, she get her little knives out and go to work on them, skin them, and whatever she used, whatever that is, I don't know. But anyway, I know she done quite a bit of taxidermy work.
She did it just as recreation, hobby? Did she do it for people?
I think it was more just something to occupy her. She would do it and when there wasn't too much going on, like farm work right then in the wintertime and stuff. And just to entertain herself more than anything, I think. I don't know of her ever selling anything or anything like that. She did give some of the stuff away. And then, of course, when she passed on, people come in there and just stole stuff like crazy. It took me about 2 days to get here from California, and there wasn't a whole lot of stuff left. Just people just
That's
took
a
it.
Shame.
Yeah.
What did Kate believe in as you were growing up? What were some of the things that she felt very strongly about? Obviously, she didn't like the fact that Mr. Slaughterback gambled.
Yeah.
How did she feel about drinking alcohol? Was she very anti?
No, she believed that that was all right.
That didn't bother her so much.
No, I don't know why she'd even be saying this, but her and Ed Brewer were old pioneers out there together, and they made moonshine and sold moonshine. And I can remember that pretty well.
So they had a still down on her place?
Well, in the area. I don't know if it was actually
on her place or not.
Really. She had an old Model T pickup. I remember the revenue man came out there one time and I guess located it, and we're going to come back later or something, and that night they hauled these barrels of mash in that old Model T. And I think they tipped it over or something in the old dry ditch and spilled a barrel of mash or something. So, of course, I wasn't right along there. I don't know exactly what all happened, but I can remember that. The old revenue men would come out in there. They even tried to bribe me with candy and bananas one time, I remember pretty well. Of course, I didn't know nothing.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss in that,
right.
that case.
I know.
What were some of the other things? Was she a religious person? Did you attend church?
She was a Catholic, but we didn't attend church very often. Kind of funny the way things would work out that way. She always raised a fair crop of corn and wheat and one thing and another. And I can remember many times when a bad cloud would come up and look like hail, and Kate going in and praying. She did. She was religious, and she did. She was a Catholic. And I was, when we went to California, I think I was 4 years old, I was baptized as a Catholic, but we didn't go to church very much.
Who were her heroes or heroines? Did she talk much about characters in Western life and literature, such as Buffalo Bill or anything that you
Very
recall?
Very little. Famous horses like Midnight, there was a bucking horse, and I can't remember, race horses and stuff like that. If she would hear about them, that was great.
Anything pertaining to animals,
yes,
she was very interested in talking about.
And I can remember talking some about Amelia Earhart, you know, when she flew around the world. A few little things like that, but she didn't have many people that she thought was very great.
What about her opinion of herself?
I really don't know. It's hard to say, really. She always stood up for herself. Nobody kicked her around or gave her no bad time. She was a pretty rugged gal. I don't think there was anything she couldn't do. She done all kinds of farming, and like she was graduating high school and done taxidermy, and just everything she did it herself.
So she had a lot of pride in her own capabilities.
Yes,
probably that was good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe she was born a bit out of her age. She probably would have done much better, maybe just in this age.
You know,
a little more liberated times, because she was obviously a very liberated person for her time.
I'm sure.
And that must have caused her to feel maybe somewhat like a loner or for something to
be. I suppose. I know she never did take anything, you know, she always had to do everything on her own. And,
mm-hmm.
And very seldom even ask anybody to. Like, I can remember a couple of three different times going for coal with a team and wagon rather than to have somebody get it for. And that was from where we lived out there. They had a little strip mine thing going. Well, it was almost up here to Greeley. And she'd take off really early in the morning and be real late at night. She'd get back with a little coal on the wagon. That was a long trip for horses, but she would do it.
What did you do for fun? Did you
very
go
little.
To socials? Was she involved at all with the school, or
I don't
you
think
attended?
I don't think so. She never. They have a little church out there, that little four-way. Of course, I don't know if that was even going back too many years, but we never go to church. We went over when they had neighbors there where she lived when she killed the snakes. That was later when these people lived there. But I know we went there a time or two to watch Joe Lewis fight.
Hmm.
I think his very first fight, that's where we went. Because we didn't have radio, electricity, or nothing. And so we cranked up the old Model T, and it was cold in the winter. And we got over there, barely got there, and drained the water so it wouldn't freeze the radiator. And she'd come in and sit down and say, "Well, the fight's over."
Oh, no.
It was a real fast knockout. And
jeez. So where did the fight take place then?
Well, it must have been in Denver.
In Denver.
I think so.
And this would have been during the 1930s?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So if once in a great while we would go to Denver or to Greeley, that was really a trip in a Model T, you know. But we didn't do anything for. Then later on, of course, when I got a little older, then I got some school kids and friends that had cars, and I'd go to the show. That was go to Fort Lupton to the show.
That was the big time
out.
Yeah,
Saturday night, maybe play a game of pool and go to the show and have a malt. Boy, that was really living it up.
Off of the farm, huh?
Yeah.
You went into the service then right out of high school? Or did you work for a while and then?
Yeah, pretty much right out of high school.
Mm. What year did you graduate? Remember?
I don't remember for sure. I went into service in about 44.
And did you go overseas?
No, I never did leave the States. I went to Salt Lake City and spent about a year and a half, and then to beautiful California, and I was there about a year and a half, and then I went to Phoenix, Arizona. Just stayed around there. Had a few German prisoners that I was attached to the Air Corps, but I was actually in the military police, and I guarded German prisoners out there in Arizona.
I see. And then you met your wife in Arizona, and
no, I was married just before I went into service. And went into service and got married and everything all right about the same time.
And you have two children, boy and a girl?
Two boys,
uh-huh. I see.
One of them was born while I was in the service in Salt Lake City, and then the other one shortly after I got out, out on the farm. I came back from the service and spent about 10 years out on the farm. And
the homestead here?
Yes.
Okay, so that would have been in the late 1940s through mid-1950s, somewhere in there.
About 52 we went to California.
I see.
And that was, about 10 years out there. And that was pretty rough riding in the drought, and we was on dry land and, and not raising no crops or nothing. And I had a brother in California. So he came out to visit and says, well, come to California. He says, boy, money growing on trees out there. And so I went out there, and of course a farmer, you know, they do everything. So I went out there and tried my hand at carpenter work, and worked about 2 years in carpentry and done real good, but there was so many people in that business that it was kind of rough. So I put in applications around school and city and one thing and another. Got on the city of Garden Grove and worked for the city for 25 years.
I see.
That was the nearest I could find as farm work in town. I was mainly their main truck driver, but when you work for the city, you do a little bit of everything.
Right. So it was a good choice then?
I thought so, yeah.
And so you're still in the Garden Grove area?
Yes, we bought a home there.
Are there any other things that you remember specifically about growing up, having a mother who was famous, at least in this area, regionally?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Everybody knew her, that's for sure. Even yet, when I come out in this country, I had a lot of friends when I left here, but it seemed like, you know, I was only here 10 years, so... Mm-hmm. People that don't know me, I'll say, well, I'm Rattlesnake Kate's kid. Oh, yeah, I remember you. So everybody knew her, that's for sure.
Who gave her the name Rattlesnake Kate? Is this something she just picked up from a newspaper article, or?
Probably Buckskin Bill. I don't know really for sure, but he was always writing and quite a poet, so.
Mm-hmm. And so she just kind of assumed that name from that experience.
Yeah.
And her mailbox did say Rattlesnake Kate.
Uh-huh.
That's how she received a lot of her mail, was just addressed to Rattlesnake Kate.
Oh, putting in all of her mail, just Rattlesnake Kate, Route 2 Fort Lupton. That was it.
Did she ever try to capitalize on her experience?
No, I don't think so.
Not really.
People was always trying to get her to... You know, reenact the whole thing, go through it all, and but no way she wouldn't do it.
All of the dress that she made, I should say, out of the snakes that she killed when she happened to stumble across the den of rattlers in October of 1925, it was. Legend has it that she wore that dress to parties and to dances in the area. Is that true? Do you know?
I don't.
That's written up in a lot of the literature, the newspaper articles.
The only thing that I remember, and more or less just from story, but she's supposed to have danced on a bar in Old Mexico with that dress on.
Oh, really?
And that's when I was only 4 years old, so. But I do remember going down there, and I remember we stayed too late, and when we came back over the gate, it was closed, and, you know, and they all crawled over, and I was small enough I could crawl under, and they were saying that people has been shot off of the gate for crawling over. You know, it was supposed to have been closed.
So this was in Juarez, Mexico?
TJ.
Ah.
Tijuana.
Tijuana, I see. Did she go down to Mexico quite a bit? I know some of the photos from the 1930s are marked Juarez.
I suppose so. I don't really know. That's the only time I really know myself. But then that's the only time I ever know of her wearing that dress to a party or anything. But she might have done it later.
But while you were growing up and while you were... young out in Hudson, you don't recall an active social life or her putting on the dress and wearing it.
No, really. I know she used to get it out a lot and show it to people because everybody wanted to see it. And she kept it right at the house there. But
I've also heard that she didn't like people to photograph it, that she was very particular about who maybe she showed the dress to and who actually took a photo of it, because there are not that many photos of her taken in the dress, and the ones that we have are taken of her wearing the dress when she's an older woman, not, you know, they're just a couple right when the experience happens. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that she didn't want nobody photographing it. Until, like you say, she got older, then she, what would you say, mellowed out a little bit or She was a pretty rough woman when she was younger. She stood up to any man that give her any trouble.
Now, I also, you know, heard that she was a very good marksman. Is that true?
Yes.
Good with a rifle, and she liked to shoot. Is that?
Yes. She never had a lot of guns, but she had that little .22 that she shot the first two or three snakes for, and she could really shoot it. And then so she had a shotgun. I think maybe a revolver, I'm pretty sure, but I never seen it. I don't know if somebody got that before I got back. And then she was into Indian lore quite a bit. She had a lot of arrowheads that she had found right out in that area. And rub rocks. She had rub rocks. It was my fault that I didn't get a lot of them, because they were big old tubs full of rub rocks that she'd picked up Indian that they used to grind their corn and stuff. And she had a